Welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Jess and Karen. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
And tonight we're going to talk about The Miller's Daughter, which was a fantastic episode featuring Cora and Cora's backstory. And I think one of the best parts about this entire episode was the interactions between Cora and Rumpel. Loved them. So, initial reactions, girls. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Did you love the episode? Was it just so-so? Personally, really loved it. Thought it was really enjoyable. And my favorite part is that it connected to the story arc we've been working on for weeks now. So I love that it kept that going and kept the progression going so we can kind of see that story through for once. So what do you think?
I loved this episode. I thought it was a fantastic episode. There was so much emotion and just so many things that happened, and yet it didn't feel like there were no parts that were boring or felt gratuitous or anything. It felt like every part was necessary, and I don't know, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Everything tied together really well. I really loved the episode. The only thing is, I feel like we have so many more questions about Cora and even Ava now, and I really want to know more about them when they were younger. But other than that, I mean, that's just, you got to expect lots of questions when you watch an episode of Once Upon a Time. But yeah, the episode was really solid. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And you have to give like a big shout out to Rose McGowan, who I thought she was brilliant. Yes. As the young Cora. I even felt like she must have studied Barbara Hershey's facial expressions because they were so spot on. I loved her as the young Cora. She was so fantastic.
They've done a really nice job casting the younger versions of these characters.
Yeah, they really have. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's just jump right into the discussion because the episode is basically Cora, even somewhat Rumpel focused. So we know that Cora is the Miller's daughter. In the very, very beginning, we have the scene where she's kind of walking through the square, and she is tripped by Snow's mother and made to kneel and apologize. And that scene is really embarrassing for Cora, because she's a very proud girl, even though she is the Miller's daughter. And the king, so then we kind of move on, and she goes to the masked ball, where Ava is visiting Henry, the prince, because I think the idea was that they were going to be betrothed. And so she sneaks into the ball, and she lies to the king because she gets caught there. And so she lies to the king and says, well, you know, you don't need to sell your son off. I can spin straw to gold. And he says that if that's true, then you can marry my son and be a princess. So I thought that was a really interesting setup to how Cora starts into this world of power, in a sense. And so how she kind of basically lies her way in and doesn't have an escape plan until Rumpel shows up. So what did you guys think about, A, the interaction between Ava and Cora, which clearly leads to animosity later on down the road, and how Cora, even at such a young, or at a younger age, was still willing to be deceptive and craving power?
I was so surprised by Ava that I just really don't know what to think, because she's such a wonderful human being later on. And I mean, in the last episode, we saw that scene of her and Snow and her saying, you know, everybody's life is worth something. We must not treat, you know, even servants worse than us because we're all people. And to see her do that for, I mean, literally no reason other than she just wanted to. It was so shocking to me that I really need some more backstory on her.
I really loved this whole setup. I thought it was, like, I loved getting, like Karen was just saying, seeing all of that. And it was cool getting to see, because, you know, we know how Snow grew up to be. And last week we got to see her as a little girl, like, oh, you're a servant, la, 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 la. And, you know, she got that great lesson from her mom. And so then to get to see that her mother, who we just got introduced to as this, like, wonderful woman, to see her being a bratty younger girl, teenage girl, was kind of cool. I thought, you know, like all people go through stages in life and grow up, and then to have, and it's just, you know, how you deal with the things that you're, the lessons that you're taught in life. And so then to see Cora, who I mean, I'm assuming that the milk, you know, that was her. She says, you know, father, and he just seemed to be like a sad sack of nothing, like completely useless. And so she's fending for herself and working, and it's just had this hard exterior built. And then just to see her extreme reaction to this humiliation and the pride that she holds and everything just really set up her character, that even from her, like, that her humble beginnings and everything just really went in to create this woman who could be such a monstrosity later in life.
That's a very good point. It is, I don't know, it was just such a odd, like you guys pointed out, having Ava be so nasty was just such a surprising thing, considering everything we had seen the previous episode on her. So I would definitely love some more backstory on her as well. So then, of course, enters Rumpel. And this is obviously the very first time that Rumpel and Cora meet. And so Rumpel says, oh, you've gotten yourself into like a pickle, my dear. Let me help you. This is what I can do. I can spin the straw to gold. And she's very wise and says, I don't want you to do it for me. I need you to teach me. So she knew that she would have to be able to prove that she could do it. And if she proves herself, and if she can definitely do it, then she can fend for herself a little bit more, I think, than she normally could. So Rumpel teaches her how to spin the gold. And he teaches her how to by using her hate and using her anger towards people. So she uses what Ava did to her as the fuel for her to be able to spin the hay into gold. Which, again, is just a really cool kind of concept. And it connects the story of Snow and Regina even more because of their mothers and how their mothers related. So there's that aspect. And then we have this odd dynamic between Rumpel and Cora throughout the whole episode. And they have their contract, because Rumpel always has a contract. So Rumpel's contract initially starts out with having taking Cora's firstborn, which is the traditional tale of Rumpelstiltskin. But then they change it to his child. And I'm not really clear on what that means. Does that mean she would have his child? Yes?
Oh, yes.
That's what it is, right? Okay. Because at first I was like, I was a little confused. I don't know. So it's about her having his child because she claims to be in love with him. And then she takes all that back as well. So what do you think about how treated Rumpel? Did she use him? Was it more than that? You know, was she just protecting herself? There's so many things that happen in the moments between her and Rumpel on screen in this particular episode that they're overwhelming. So what did you guys think about that particular section of the story where they're first introduced?
At this point, I was like, I didn't know what her game was. Like, I felt like surely she must be playing him. And I was just so shocked that even at this point, before she's been completely corrupted, that she pulled forth all that bloodlust, you know, as he's trying to help her to spin the straw into gold and teach her. And she's just going on and on and on with this intense bloodlust. And I was just like, goodness. Like, I mean, she didn't need to be taught that. She didn't, like, she wasn't, I guess I always kind of felt like she was a nicer person that got corrupted by magic, kind of like Regina, but it didn't really seem like that was the case here.
And she had a lot of built up anger, I think.
Yeah, she really did. And so seeing that made me feel like there's no way she truly has feelings for Rumpel. She's playing him like a fiddle. But at the same time, I was like, does Rumpel really have feelings for her? Because this is just awkward. And seeing him nuzzle her neck and, like, all that stuff, I was just like, oh, God.
There are some things that don't need to be seen on TV.
Yeah. That is one of them. My facial expression, I'm sure, looked like I just smelled something really bad.
It was just, they were awkward. And it just was so kind of quick about the whole thing. You're like, wait, what's going on? I don't understand. Why? So I don't know. It was so strange. It was just a strange thing to see, I think. And I wasn't prepared for them to like each other so intensely and so quickly, I don't think. Like, it was just weird. So I don't know. And I don't know if she truly, I know she said, you know, that she couldn't, she had to protect herself, and that's why she did the things she did, and that, you know, she really did love Rumble. But I just don't know. And I think for him, I think he loved her in a way that, you know, he could, only he could love, which means it's not completely, it's not, you know, totally fulfilling, but that's who he was at the time, and that's what he could feel. And I think the offer of mm-hmm. having a child again is what enticed him the most, because he had lost Bay. And really, he's just seeking that child and that bond with that child. So I think that was part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that, actually. For me, I'm going to be the weird one here. I really liked Rumple and Cora together. I know that's strange. And yeah, the little, like, neck nuzzling thing was kind of weird. But I guess maybe for me, it was just really nice to see Rumple not totally evil when he's still the Dark One back in the Enchanted Forest. So I was just kind of on board with that. I don't know. I thought it was cool. Yeah, and the thing is, I think they both loved each other, but I think they loved each other for the wrong reasons. I think Rumple liked Cora because she was clever and she was quick and, you know, obviously very beautiful. And I think Cora loved him because he could give her power. It's not the sort of love that Snow White and Prince Charming have. It's more of a, I don't want to say a necessity, but it's more materialistic. It's not that love for love's sake sort of thing. So even though they did love each other, I think there was more motive behind it than not. And the other interesting thing is that Cora was this, and we'll probably get into this a little bit more later on when we talk about that scene at the end, but, you know, she was that full of bloodlust with her heart intact. And so yeah. I kind of have a hard time believing that even though Regina put her heart back into Cora, that she was just going to be this wonderful human being again, you know, because there was obviously all that hatred in her to begin with.
Yeah, there was very little that was good in Cora to start, and that's a really good point, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't believe that she would have been good, because we never saw any good in her, from any of the points that we've seen her. So, I don't know. That's an interesting thing to think about and to really kind of analyze in a way, I guess. So, moving on from there. Oh, the last part of that kind of segment and that we saw was that Cora had planned, she was very, very angry with the king and how he behaved, and she wants basically the whole kingdom to know before her, because she's only going to be, like, fifth in line to be queen, so she'd have to take a lot of people out to be queen, as she tells us, you know, a lot of bloodshed there. And so she talks about getting revenge on the king because of the way he's treated her. And so she tells Rumple that, I'm going to rip the king's heart out, show me how. Which, I think it's odd that she knew that you could rip a heart out, first of all. Because it's not like he brought it up ever. She just said, you're going to show me how to rip a heart out. But it's like she knew that that could be done. And they could still be alive while they watch their beating heart in your hand. I mean, it's strange.
Maybe that's just a thing that, like, they know about.
It's
that
just
dark
a thing.
Magic. Well, you know, like, dark magic. People know about dark magic. They know what it can do. They're afraid of it. Maybe it's just something that she had heard of before because of that. Yeah, you're right, though. It is kind of strange that she was just like, yeah, tell me how to rip this guy's heart out.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought it was odd.
Okay, good. I'm like, because I don't, it was just one of those things. Again, how does someone know how to do that? With that, she says she's going to go do this with the king, and then they're going to run away together, and she will have his child. Sadly, that is not the case. She betrays Rumple and takes her own heart out and says, I can't do this. I need to protect myself, and this is what I'm going to do. Again, kind of an odd choice for her to make, but it is the choice she makes. Then, you know, we see her later on. She has Regina, which means, you know, is for queen. And then everyone kneels to her daughter and her, which is kind of what she was looking for to begin with. So I don't know. I thought that was a really interesting look at that aspect of the story. And we also have Rumple and Bay and Emma and Henry returning to Storybrooke. They know that they're in trouble. They know that that Regina and Cora have his blade. So they go and hide in Mr. Gold's shop. Rumple tells them, if you get me there is magic there. It will protect us. So he has Emma reach into this jar that has an invisible item in it, and so she pulls it out, and Bay or Neil is looking at her like, wait, your magic too? Is it a surprise, Neil? Really? Isn't everyone at this point in time magic? Don't you know where her parents are? So we have this moment where Rumple has Emma use magic to protect them all, which again is, I don't really get Emma's magic. I don't know what her magic is, except that she has some. Is anyone clear on what exactly her magic is besides that lie detector thing they keep pawning out there?
I almost feel like it's one of those things where you either have like the spark of magic within you or you don't. And if you have that spark of magic, then you can stretch it and train it and mold it to be whatever it can be. And then, of course, like different people have like different levels of power within that. But like, I don't know, because she kind of can do whatever they ask her to do. It's not like there seem to be limitations to it, at least as of yet, from what we've seen. And with both Regina and Cora, you know, they went from not using magic at all to all of a sudden learning how to use it and getting these great powers and being able to do all of these incredible things with this magic. So I don't know, that could be completely wrong, but that's kind of like the understanding that I have of it.
Yeah, I agree with that, because it's not like she has a specific power that can do one thing. It's sort of like she just has the magic inside of her, and if she can figure out how to use it, then she can pretty much do anything within the limitations of what magic can do. And I really liked this scene too, because it was sort of a parallel between Cora and Emma, where Rumple was teaching Cora how to use magic with her anger and her hatred and her bloodlust, and yet with Emma it was all about her protection and her love of her family.
Right.
That was a kind of cool opposition there, I thought.
Yeah, I loved that. I really did.
Yeah, that is a great point. And it just goes to show how different they are and how magic uses emotions differently. So just depending on what emotion is your strongest is what's going to get you the best magical results, in a sense, I guess. Then we have the ever manipulative Rumple, who asks Snow to retrieve something for him from his closet. And lo and behold, there's the candle that we saw in last week's episode that would have required Snow to kill someone in order to save her mother, and she didn't do it. So Rumple says, it's the only way I'll live is if you do this. This is the only way it can be done. So Snow, again, being in this place where she wants revenge and she's done with Cora and done with Regina, who won't believe in anything. And so she decides, I'm going to do this. And she takes the candle, and Rumple tells her, you can find Cora's heart in the vault that is Regina's, and that's where you'll find it, and, you know, all this other stuff, and this is what you have to do. And then you have to get it back in her chest somehow, so that then she can die. So I thought that was a really, you know, again, it's come to Snow, and now Snow's an adult, and she should know better, and yet she's willing to take the chance again and actually use the candle this time. What did you guys think of that?
It was almost like she knew better when she was younger and not when she was an adult, which is kind of, I mean, it makes sense because you have that sort of innocence when you're a child and everything's very black and white. And now that she's older, it's all sort of gray. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Sorry, I think, you know, now too, because last week, you know, she said, like, I want to kill Cora. And so I think, she had kind of made that, like she had built up those walls within herself and, like, kind of steeled herself and closed off her emotion, at least with regard to Cora and the goodness with regard to Cora, so that she could take advantage of an opportunity. And so then when it presented itself to her in this way, like, she still hesitated, but she was like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let, you know, this weakness that they keep showing to me stand in my way this time. I can stop her. And then, of course, you know, she came back to herself and was like, crap. But it made sense to me that in this circumstance, in this situation, that she would actually go through with it.
Yeah, again, I think it has a lot to do with her protective instincts. And she's drawn a line. She's done. She's done with what they've done to her, what they've done to her family. And after Cora so senselessly killed a life last week, or took a life last week, I think that was Snow's breaking point. That there was going to be no more death because mm-hmm. of Cora. And so I think that as an adult, you make a different decision when it comes to that than when you are a child. These circumstances mm-hmm. were significantly different compared to last week's, where she was just a child and it was an either or decision relating to her mother or someone else's life, which is completely different than a, you know, a someone's hurting everybody compared to Rumple, who's, you know, now kind of part of the family. So I see how that is different and how her approach to things might be different. So we do see, I guess we kind of jumped ahead a little bit talking about Snow, but we do see Cora and Regina come after Rumple, and they're combining their magic. They made a pretty little fireball together and threw it at the front door. And then we see them enter and kind of take up arms against the others that are there, and it's kind of like a fight in the middle. And during this fight is when Snow sneaks out the back and heads to the vault. What did you guys think about that fight scene? It seems a little lame, in a sense. Like, they just flicked their hands and people went flying, and that was the end of it. It wasn't really
any
fighting. I was like, really? Come on.
There was literally nothing they could do. I mean, because Regina, like, there was nothing they could do against Regina and Cora. Like, it, which is epitomized later on, you know, with Neil and Emma against Cora, you know, when we get to that. But
yeah, why didn't they do that earlier? Like, send everyone out? You know, in the middle of the woods right from the beginning. Wouldn't have that been the smartest thing to do?
Maybe they were like, well, if we can kill them on the way in, more the better. I don't know.
And it's like, kinda weird. Really, swords against magic. I don't really know what they thought they were going to accomplish there. But it looked cool. There were some fireballs and stuff, and that always makes me happy. So I'm not complaining too much.
It was rather entertaining. So let's see. We have, so then this is the other odd thing. We have Regina and Cora kind of fighting everybody, and Emma puts up one last barrier that's going to keep them out for at least a little while. And during that time, we see Regina all of a sudden knows that somebody's in her vault. I don't know if she's got a sixth sense. I don't know if she's got some weird security system that connects just to her, but she knows someone's in the vault.
Well, that was Cora, wasn't it? Cora could tell somebody was going after her heart.
Maybe. Something. It was just weird. I just thought it was a weird thing, because the whole thing is then when we cut to the next scene, Snow's only just walking down the stairs into the vault. It's completely, like, it doesn't match. So I was like, wait a minute. How could they possibly know? That's just me being picky. I know. But, so I thought that was a little strange. So they realize that someone is in the vault and going after Cora's heart. So Regina takes off to go and find out what that's all about. Meantime, Snow finds the heart. She does the whole candle trick over the heart, so the heart is basically now cursed. And once it's placed in Cora's chest, she will die. Now, I have to give Snow some credit. This was a rather ingenious way to get the heart back inside of Cora. It was cruel. I will, you know, it's poor Regina, but it was rather ingenious. And a whole lot manipulative, which is not something one would expect from Snow White. So, I give her some props for that move. So we do see Snow, you know, kind of manipulate Regina. What did you guys think?
It tricked me. I mean, I kind of forgot that the heart was cursed, and I honestly thought that Snow was giving Regina the choice of, you know, do you want your mother back or not? And I was like, good for you, Snow, you know, letting Regina decide, and hopefully this will make everyone happy and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, she died. And I was like, oh, you are manipulative. I really didn't expect that out of her.
Yeah, the whole time she was talking, I was like, wow, this was just so smart. Like, I mean, mad props. It was super manipulative. But, you know, we did know that Snow was capable of all this from when she took that potion to make herself forget her love for Charming, and then she just, like, was crazy and mean to everybody. So, like, we know that she, yeah, we know that she does, and that was just him taking away her love for Charming. Like, that wasn't, like, a complete change of character, you know? So we do know that she does have that within her. She just, it's a smaller part of her that is subdued by all of the love that resides in her. So, but yeah, it was very interesting to see her do that and to tap into her manipulative nature. And I felt so bad for Regina, because you could just see the hope. And it's just another one of those times where it's like, if the circumstances were right, Regina really and truly could be good, but everything just comes against her to reignite her anger and her hate.
Yeah, and that's what I fear most, is not only did they kill Cora, but they kind of made Regina do it. And Regina was so hopeful. And then in that moment, her mother said how much she loved her. And this is what love feels like. Not that I believe Cora either, quite frankly. But she had a moment, and that moment was huge for Regina, then only to have her die. And I think that right there is going to be the challenge that's faced throughout the rest of the season. Because now you have Regina thoroughly just destroyed by what Snow White did. So not only does she blame Snow White for the loss of her fiancé, she's now going to blame Snow White for the loss of her mother. So I think that'll be an interesting kind of battle to see play out the rest of the season. And then, we kind of skipped a little bit here. So after the whole Regina and Cora go after Rumpel and all that stuff, before Cora dies, we see Rumpel start to say his goodbyes because he's not sure that Snow White is going to follow through. So Rumpel calls Belle and gives this gut-wrenching speech about saying how he does, you know, even though she doesn't know who she is, she's a strong person and she's a fighter and all these gorgeous things that he says to her. And she's all very confused by it, but he says, like, it's really just a perfect speech. And Bay is sitting there listening the whole time, and Bay looks at him, he said, I didn't know you had that in you. I didn't know that you knew how to love. And so that's kind of a moment for Bay and Rumpel as well, because Bay realizes that there is something inside of his father that is good. It's not just the dark magic that he remembers, or the dark one that he remembers.
This scene was one of my favorite scenes that's ever been on the show. It was so beautiful. My heart was just breaking when Rumpel was talking to Belle, and like you could see, you know, she was crying and like she could feel the love pouring through the phone at her from Rumpel, and it was just, oh my goodness, it was so sad. And then that moment when he finally like gives in and clasps his father's hand and just kind of puts his head down and is just bereft at the prospect that his father really is going to die. Like, oh, it was so beautiful and tragic and just fantastic.
Yeah, this scene was amazing. Definitely one of my favorites too. And for me, it made Rumpel redeemable. I mean, he's been evil for so long, and I mean, you know, there are parts of him that were redeemable before to an extent, but this was like, yes, you know, he can love, he does love Belle, he does love his son, and you know, between what he said and then what Neil said to him afterwards, it was like, you know, maybe this is the turning point. This is sort of what I hoped would happen to Regina with Henry, that, you know, she would get to this point where she's going to try so hard to be a better person. And yeah, she did do that, but obviously I think that's kind of, you know, in the tank now. It's probably not really going to happen. So I'm really pulling for Rumpel to sort of step over that line and just be like, okay, you know, no more magic. I'm going to do what I have to do to get these people back in my life. And I'm really looking forward to that. And another thing was that I really, really enjoyed how Bay didn't forgive his father. He said, you know, I'm still really mad at you. And to me, that was really realistic, because you don't just forgive something like what Rumpel did to him in a split second. So I really liked how, you know, he cried and stuff, but he was like, yeah, I'm still pretty mad at you, but maybe we can work through this after all.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Karen. And I thought he sounded like such a little kid when he said it, too. That's what kind of caught me in that moment when Babe was like, I'm still really mad at you. It reminded me of a little kid, in a sense. So I thought that was a really great way to connect the past and the present and what they're going through, kind of all over again, in a sense. Oh, so we have where Cora actually makes it into Rumpel and causes Emma and Neil to vanish, which again was one of the odd tricks that why didn't they just do that in the first place? But, you know, to each his own. And she lifts the knife as if she's going to kill him, and then Regina comes in and shoves the heart back into her. So that's kind of the moment before all the bad happens. And in that moment, Cora is willingly going to kill Rumpel, even after everything they've been through, even after all the love she had, like, decades ago or whatever, had confessed for him. she was willing to kill him for power, which is very much like what we see a lot of with Rumple. Are Rumple and Cora kind of one in the same? Is one worse than the other, do you think? How do you guys feel about that?
I think that they're the fundamental difference between the two of them is, yes, they both seek after power, but they're like the underlying motivation for it is completely different. Because Rumple's whole purpose and everything that he did, even becoming the Dark One, was to protect his son, to protect Bay from having to go fight in this war where he would probably almost certainly be killed. And that's, you know, why he became the Dark One to begin with. And then Cora, on the other hand, was just, these people made me look stupid and embarrassed me, and I want them to pay. And so, like, even though Rumple ended up doing a lot of evil, a whole lot of evil to people, like, it was still, there was that purity in his most basic of intention.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think Cora, at her core at this point, is just not a good person. You know, there's so much anger and hate inside of her that there's not much that's redeemable. And now I feel like maybe Regina is going to start to go that way as well, because Regina has lost. She lost Daniel. She's now lost her mother, which is the only love she's ever really craved, in a sense. She lost her father to make the curse happen in the first place. So I think there are a lot of things that have fed into where Regina is right now. And of course, we have that very last scene where Snow and Charming burst in to get her to stop. And that's, you know, Cora's dead in Regina's arms. And that's one more thing for Regina to hate Snow for and to blame Snow for. I mean, in this case, I guess rightfully so, it is kind of the choice that Snow White made. But at the same time, Regina is now just so angry. I think for the rest of the season, we're going to see a lot of back and forth kind of anger and hate between the two of them, and maybe some, you know, more attempts on Snow's life or the people that Snow loves live. That doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean. So I'm a little concerned for them and for, you know, all the good in Storybrooke. A little concerned for them. So yeah, I thought that last scene was really kind of setting up the rest of the season with, again, Regina no longer being willing to play nice and work things out with everybody or to even try anymore. She's done trying and she's ready now to take on kind of the world and own it again. So I think that'll be a really interesting thing.
I feel the same way. And I think that at this point, Regina's broken. You know, I mean, she had that tether that was Henry and it kept her in check quite a bit. But I'm not sure he's going to be enough this time. And it really makes me wonder how far she's going to go and if she's going to be willing to lose Henry in order to get revenge on Snow. I think that's going to be really interesting to see play out.
Yeah, I feel like right now she's in kind of this haze of anger that she won't really be able to see through it, to see Henry and to remember, like, the point of all of it. The point of everything was to renew her relationship with him. And so I don't think that she's going to be able to see that at this point. Eventually, I think she probably will, probably when it's too late. But for right now, I think that her anger is just going to blind, like, all she sees is red. That's it.
Yeah. So here's a question for you guys then. Do you think that they would kill off Regina? Like, say she gets so evil and, you know, she doesn't care about Henry anymore or anything like that, and it's literally down between her and Snow White. Do you think they would kill off somebody as important as Regina?
No. The fan revolt alone on that would be insane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say no.
I don't think they would kill her. I could see them doing something like
sending her to a different land, maybe, somehow.
Right, like sending her somewhere else or figuring out a way to get rid of her powers or, like,
trapping her in a bubble.
Making her lose, like, something. Like, even making, like, pushing her over the border so she loses her memories and doesn't remember that she is magic. Or, you know, something.
That's true.
Something like that.
Yeah. I guess I just really want to see them shake it up a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to see anybody, any of the main characters die, but I think I'm sort of just craving, like, this ultimate plot twist where, you know, somebody huge is going to go and then everyone has to sort of live with the repercussions of that.
Well, and this is a spoiler, so stop listening if you haven't read the news on Hypeable. It was posted today. So, ready? Turn off your sound. Okay. So, Megan Ori was cast as a lead in another pilot for CBS. But we don't know what... I mean, Red is technically a season regular. But now she's right. being cast as something else, as, like, the lead. So, does Red go? I mean, is it a possibility that Red gets killed in the crossfire of all of this?
That could definitely happen, I think.
It could. I think I think it would be possible because her part is so infrequent. It would be possible for her to do another show, but if they wanted to kill a character, they could absolutely be going after her.
Right, and people like Ruby. Do you know what I mean? She's kind of a staple. She's right. always with Henry. So I could see how it would be effective if they kind of killed her. Do you know, it wouldn't be like, oh my God, Regina's dead. But it would still be effective enough that right. mm-hmm. it would cause enough of a ripple. So, yeah, just something to think about.
Kind of like when they killed Charlie on Law. Oh, crud. How far are you in
the... Lost Harvey Karen? I actually kind of knew that already. I had seen it accidentally somewhere else.
Wait,
so
she hasn't seen it.
I won't blame you, Jess.
Oh, okay. Karen, spoiler, Karen. Turn off your headphones.
I'm so used to everybody having seen Lost.
I know.
Okay, shut up, Jess.
Okay.
Anyway.
So let's talk about next week's episode is called Welcome to Storybrooke. And this is fantastic because at Paley Fest, they actually talked a little bit about Welcome to Storybrooke, and I think it's hysterical. But the synopsis is Emma, David, and Mr. Gold must protect Mary Margaret against Regina, who is out for revenge and has made it her mission to kill Mary. And Henry, fed up with all of the feuding, devises a plan to put an end to magic. Meanwhile, Regina discovers that a father and son have somehow found their way into her allegedly undetectable town as she and the fairy tale characters deal with the effects of the newly cast curse 28 years prior. So essentially, Welcome to Storybrooke is like the week the curse first happens. So it's a little retro flashback action to when the curse first happens. And everyone's just landed in Storybrooke, which is kind of cool. And I think this would be the episode that we get to see the Huntsman again. If that Ooh. Hasn't already been, like, deduced by absolutely everybody. Because, right. you know, I don't read spoilers. But it would make sense. Because he would have been there 28 years ago.
This sounds really cool.
Yeah. So it's got a lot of potential. So you have the initial, you know, everyone's trying to protect Mary Margaret. And then you have this huge flashback to when they all landed in Storybrooke that first week and how they kind of sorted everything out and how everything kind of lined itself up. Yes. So next week's episode should be pretty cool. So yeah, there's that. Any predictions or thoughts about next week's episode?
I'm really interested to see what Henry's going to come up with and if he's going to be able to end the magic, because that, I mean, even if it's just temporary, that is going to put a huge damper on Regina's plans, especially, and even, you know, what Emma is capable of. So that would be an interesting twist, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be so funny if Henry actually could stop the magic out of everything, because there is that, you know, whole thing from the Seer where the Seer will destroy Rumpel, or he'll be his downfall, which the downfall mm-hmm. of magic would be a beautiful thing, let's face it. So I think that would be really cool if he manages to pull that off.
Yeah. Does anyone else still find it weird, like, the sentence, Mr. Gold is going to protect Mary Margaret? Like, that just sounds so strange to me. And I know they're sort of allies and family now, and he obviously is against Regina. But I just have a hard time, like, actually picturing him, like, wanting to protect Mary Margaret.
She just saved his life. He best be protecting her.
That's true, yeah.
This is his fault, okay? Let's, you know, connect the dots. This is all on him.
I feel like he's really going to be looking to get something out of this, though. Like, I mean, he's not going to stop being manipulative just because she saved his life. So I'll be interested to see how he's going to spin this in his favor.
One thing I'm super curious to see is how he interacts with Henry, because he has the prophecy from the seer about Henry being his downfall, but Henry's also his grandchild, and we've seen how much he loves his son. So you would think that he would also have this incredible love for his son's son. So it'll be in, like, I'm curious to see, like, what emotion wins out and, like, how that interaction, what happens with that.
But here's the big question for me with all of this. Has Rumple known all along that Henry was the boy? Was it always there? Did he always know? Or is he just now realizing it because he knows that Henry's related to Bay now?
Do we know that it's Henry for sure?
We're just all assuming.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's like a really, really good chance that it is, let's be honest. But, you know, I guess there could be that small percentage where it could be somebody else.
Yeah.
It was a different show, I would say maybe, but, like, Once Upon a Time doesn't typically, like, they kind of set things up very obviously.
Yeah, they need to work on that.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, maybe this will be a place where they change it, but it seems like on this show, if there's an answer that seems like 95 to 99% likely that's the case, then it's going to be the case.
Yeah. What you were saying about Rumple, like, did he know or not? It just reminded me of one of my favorite lines in this episode where he said, "When you see the future, there's irony everywhere."
Yes. That was hilarious. I loved that. Okay. So Jeremy B said, "I think Tamara, Neil's fiance, could be her. Here's my theory. Tamara was staying at Neil's and found the postcard from August. It leads to Storybrooke. So she gets Greg to find out what's going on in Storybrooke." It's actually an interesting theory.
I kind of like it because it loops everything together. And you know how they like to loop everything together.
Right.
And
she could still just be like a normal human, no fairy tale past, magic powers or anything, but it would connect it.
True. And I like it. I like that kind of connection, and it brings her into the magic because you have Greg telling her about the magic and, you know, things like that. But see, here's my thing. Greg is not overwhelmingly, like, terrified or blown away by the fact that there's magic, which makes me believe that he's aware of the fact that it can exist in the world. You know what I mean? Like, he isn't, like, freaked out by it like a normal person would be. So I tend to wonder about how kind of, you know, quote-unquote normal Greg and his co-conspirator, her, are. But I do like that theory a lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So do I. It would definitely complicate things if she came to Storybrooke and, you know, she was sort of in the middle of all this, especially with the, you know, I don't really know if it's a love triangle necessarily, but, you know, between Emma and Neil and Tamara, it would sort of throw a little wrench in everybody's plans, I think. I also really like the idea that she could be her. I think, but the thing there is, like, why would Greg put her in his phone as her? Like, is she more than, not necessarily a fairy tale character, but is she more than what she says she is? Or is she, like, this really horrible, scary, intimidating person? Or, you know, is she having an affair with him and he can't, you know, put her name in his phone or something like that? I just feel like if that is her, there's got to be something more than just the fact that she's sending him to Storybrooke to figure out what's in Storybrooke.
I don't know. So many questions, once again, but I like it. I really like the idea about it. And I think it was really interesting when they kind of all met on the sidewalk, Neil was just kind of like, "This is Emma," and kind of just left it at that and didn't really elaborate, which only piqued someone's curiosity further. I could see her showing up at some point in time.
All right, our next listener feedback is short and sweet. It's from Mr. D, and he just says, "Dr. Whale will bring Cora back." And this is interesting. Don't know how plausible it is, but it would definitely put a twist on everything. And, you know, especially since I guess when Daniel came back, he wasn't really the same. So, you know, if Cora comes back even for a short amount of time, she could really wreak some havoc.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't think that this would be something that would happen. Like, I feel like Cora's death would be more effective with it being a finality. But I could definitely see Regina going to Dr. Whale and trying to force him to at least try.
Yeah, I don't know. True. I really like the idea of it. It's one more kind of crazy, quirky thing to put into play. But we did have, like, zombie crazed Daniel coming back, and I don't know if we could take a zombie crazed Cora coming back. I think that would be a little scary. So.
And you think she'd learn her lesson from the first time that when they come back, they're not necessarily going to be the same. So what's the point anyway?
Desperation. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things where I think you're just desperate and you want to save whatever you can, especially because she had that moment.
Yeah, I think it's definitely understandable, and I could totally see, you know, why she would do something like that. But considering, you know, I would almost think it'd be harder to see your mother come back knowing that she's not going to be the same anyway. So it's like, why would she even try? But I mean, if she's sort of not in her right mind either, I could see her definitely knocking down Whale's door and saying, all right, listen, you're going to do this for me or I'm going to kill you. Because she would definitely, you know, threaten somebody's life if she thought she could get Cora back.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Does anyone have any last minute thoughts or comments?
I just want to say that I really want to see more Rose McGowan. I really want to see more Cora backstory and some more Ava backstory, maybe even with them interacting a bit more, something like that. I think that could make for a really cool episode.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's still so much more in there that they could tap into, whether or not they will now that Cora is dead is to be seen, but I really hope they do.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. And I loved, like I said, I loved Rose McGowan. I thought she was brilliant as a young Cora. Like, truly, just really captivating. And she made that backstory. So I loved it. So it'd be great to see more of her. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Onceable. You guys can leave comments on the post and any of the Once Upon a Time posts. We always check them. You can reach us at onceable@hypable.com for any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, theories, anything fun like that. And you can follow all the great Once Upon a Time news at Once Upon News on Twitter. So thank you guys very much for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Karen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.